through these different areas geographically and out to the ends of the earth. But I wonder what you'd say it is that makes a story spread well. Maybe it's a good communicator. You know, when you hear someone that's really good at telling stories and you're convinced that you listen to them talk about anything. They just got so much charisma, they can speak well, you'd happily, is it that that makes a good story spread well? Or maybe it's the content of the story. You know, there's been plenty of stories over the last couple of years that have been pretty meaty. At times they've been pretty controversial. The kind of story that you see on the news, hear about, and you say, did I really hear that? Have you seen? Have you heard? Desperate, you just need to tell someone what you've read in the paper that morning. Did you see how much they spent on the renovation at Downing Street? Did you see how much Elon Musk has bought Twitter for? Did you hear that interview with Meghan and Harry and what they said? Now, at this point in the book of Acts, we read stories about Jesus and his followers. They're spreading. And the authorities, they don't quite know what to do with this news. Just before this chapter, Peter and John had been put in prison for the night for causing a commotion, and they're pledging their allegiance to Jesus and the news about him. We get a good idea of why they're thrown into prison. Have a look down at verse 5. The next day they're pulled before the elders and teachers of the law, and there's these two particular men mentioned, Annas and Caiaphas, in verse 6. Not many weeks had passed since these men had played their part in killing Jesus. They thought they'd shut down the movement. But look at what they're facing now. They're facing as much noise about Jesus, as much issues. It's all on their plate, just as much as when Jesus was alive. It's still a problem that they've got to deal with if they disagree with what Jesus stood for. And that's the context that sets up the seriousness of the question in verse 7. Have a look down at verse 7. By what power or what name did you do this? Do you see, it's not just an innocent question. It's not just trying to find out the information. It's a pretty angry accusation. Are they really going to pledge their allegiance to Jesus again? The man who was crucified? Are they going to face up to the same power that put him on the cross? Or will they cover up? Is it going to get covered up again? This week, you might have seen in the news, the long-awaited Sue Gray report was published. The report as to what exactly happened at Downing Street while there was serious work meetings going on that looked a lot like parties. There was plenty of gatherings. In this report, there was plenty of pictures and lots of information as to whether or not the staff at Downing Street were having a party and should be fined. Fines were issued over this event on the 13th of November, but not for Boris Johnson, and there's been uproar, hasn't there? People haven't quite known what to do with it, whether it should be enforced, what's happened, and whether or not he should be able to stand. The report follows the completion of the Metropolitan Police's investigation into those breaches of COVID regulations. In total, there was 126 fines issued to 83 individuals. But can you just imagine with me for one moment the moment where it first hit the press? Do you remember when it first started to leak and there was just an inkling that something was not quite right? There was a picture with a champagne bottle, or there was something leaked. Can you imagine the moment the next morning when they go into a meeting and they look around the table in Downing Street and go, oh, no, no, no. What do we do? What can we do with this? They know they've been found out. They know they've been caught. What could they do? Presumably, there was a number of conversations as to what extent they could suppress this news that really stood against them and what they stood for. Well, you can imagine, Annas and Caiaphas, they're thinking, how on earth
earth can we manipulate this situation and this information, this news about Jesus and his followers to suit us? How are we going to suppress this? How can we cover up? Peter and John, they're being challenged by the powers that be. But here's the point. When it comes to the gospel, we're telling more than just a good story. Peter and John, they've got more than just a good story to share. Have a look at verse 10. Peter uses this phrase he's used a couple of times, a kind of sit up and listen phrase. Know this, you and all the people of Israel. It's like he's saying this is really important. This story and the signs that go with it, they happen in Jesus' name by the power of his spirit that he's promised. You see, the good news about Jesus, it travels not just because it's a good story. Remember Acts 1 verse 8, talking about the different regions that the gospel went out to and to the ends of the earth to us today. It's traveled not just because it's a good story, not just because it's been carried here by good storytellers. This story, it spreads because Jesus is alive and his spirit is active. When it comes to the pressure to speak of Jesus, of where Peter and John will pledge their allegiance, Peter's reply, it leaves no room for doubt. He doesn't hold back. He shows unbelievable boldness. See what he said? It is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. See what he's doing? He's like, no. In your face, this is true. How can he be so bold? Well, because he has the help of the Holy Spirit. On the face of it, the apostles are on the defensive. They're standing trial, essentially. They're trying to be shut down. It's like they're on the back foot. Yet, see what Peter says? He says, he asks a question of his attackers. He's saying, this is the truth about Jesus. What are you going to do with it? He doesn't need to defend himself. He's asking questions of the people that are standing him on trial. Look at how he turns it around in verse 11. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Do you see his challenge to the authorities? The sheer boldness. This is not just a controversial truth that you have to suppress. This is the absolute truth that everyone must answer to. Do you see their boldness there as they're attacked? They're able to say that because they've got absolute confidence because Jesus is risen. And the news about him is true. There is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. And so we too are telling more than just a good story. Because this is the truth that leaves every person answerable to God himself. Maybe this morning you're in the room and you need to hear this. This is the absolute truth, this news about Jesus, that leaves every one of us answerable to God. Maybe that's the line that you need to share with someone that you love very dearly, that's close to you. This is the absolute truth about Jesus that leaves every person answerable to God. This is the truth that leaves your friend, neighbor, colleague, answerable to God himself. You must make your own mind up about this Jesus, just as Peter says, as he challenges. Salvation's found in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. And look, maybe you look at Peter and John and you look at what they're doing here, stood in on trial, and they're so bold in saying, no, you've got to answer to Jesus. You've got to work out what you make about him. And you think, wow, they are such brilliant evangelists. They're just so bold. How could they have such boldness and confidence in that moment? Or maybe even look around the church here, or Christians you know, and you think, wow, that person is so bold when it comes to speaking about Jesus. How can they have such confidence? I'm not very clever with my words, maybe you think. I'm not very winsome. I'm not that influential. I don't have that many friends. I'm not very good under pressure. I'm certainly not good in conflict. But look at Peter and John. The story doesn't spread because of their power, their words, their influence, their intellect, their ability. The story spreads, as we see through the book of Acts and beyond, because Jesus is alive and his Spirit is active. This is the absolute truth by which everyone must be saved. How will I, how will you, in those moments of feeling weak and incapable, how could you think less about yourself and more about Jesus? More about how the truth about Jesus is true. It has travelled this far, and it is good news for everyone. Look, as we read at what Peter's done, as he stands up in front of these people, the temptation is we go, ah, oh, Peter's class, isn't he? This is evangelism 101. Like, if you want a model, here's Peter, this is brilliant. That's the danger. He's confident. He puts the onus on the listener. He lays out the truth of the gospel, so much so that it is inarguable. He calls the listener to account to God. What could possibly go wrong? Peter's nailed it. Well, why aren't more people turning to trust in Jesus? Just look, have a look down at verse 13 and 14. When they say that's the rulers, they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men. They were astonished. See, the rulers were particularly compelled by their appeal, and surprisingly so, given they were uneducated, they were ordinary. You think at that moment, oh, it's looking good for the gospel, isn't it? They're surprised that these unschooled men have got something interesting to say. But, carry on reading, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Still, maybe looking good for the gospel, they're astonished that these unschooled men have something interesting to say about Jesus. But when they realize or remember that it's something that they've got an underlying resentment against. Remember, this is Jesus, the one that we've put on the cross. This is Jesus, the one that we're opposed to. This is Jesus, the one whose followers we hate. When they realize that, there's this kind of immediate internal rejection. No, we don't want to listen. Look at verse 14. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. So they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin and then conferred together. What are you going to do with these men? They asked. Everyone living in Jerusalem knows they have performed a notable sign, and we cannot deny it. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn them to speak no longer to anyone in this name. Do you see what's happening? Do you see what's happening in that moment? It's remarkable. They're saying, look, these unschooled men that have given us this message, that have shown us this sign, we just can't argue. There's nothing we can say, but we don't want to accept it, so we just got to cover up. See, maybe our tendency as we think about sharing the good news about Jesus with friends, colleagues, neighbours, family, maybe our tendency is to think, if I get it all right, if I tick all the boxes, if I walk someone through two ways to live, or if I get them to the right event, then the person will accept it. But you see, even though the good news about Jesus, it is utterly compelling, even though the evidence for the gospel is irrefutable, it's inarguable, even though it stands trial, there will be people who reject it because it's what we don't want to hear. The good news of the gospel is good news. It's great news. Salvation can be found in no one else. But as humans, we don't like it because we have to accept that we don't stand right before God. We have to relinquish control of our own lives. In fact, until God opens our blind eyes by his Spirit, we're incapable of seeing what is plainly true in the gospel. Do you see these men as they listen to Peter? It all makes sense logically. They can't argue, and yet they want to cover up, and yet they don't want it to keep spreading. And that's our human nature. Maybe you can remember a time when that was you. You could logically compute the truth of the gospel, but you didn't want to accept it. You didn't want to follow Jesus with your heart. And that's the reality. There will be people who hear the truth about Jesus and simply don't want to listen to it. Maybe that sounds really bleak as we look at this bit in Acts. Like, what hope do we have for the people of Bedford? What hope do we have for our friends and neighbours? Maybe your mind goes to family members that you deeply care about. What hope do we have? Well, look what we've seen previously in the book of Acts. A couple of things that are so encouraging as we see the gospel message spread. But many who heard the message believed. So the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. That's the context in the book of Acts where we see people still refusing. You see, the good news about Jesus, it will bring opposition. There will be people always who say no. But God, by his Spirit, will continue to open blind eyes to the truth about him. This story spreads because Jesus is alive and his Spirit is active. This is the truth that leaves every single one of us, every human on this planet, answerable to God himself. And in the book of Acts, thousands of people are turning to trust in Jesus. And across the world today, thousands of people are turning to trust in Jesus. The story spreads. The news spreads, the facts spread, because Jesus is alive and his Spirit is active. So what will we do? Well, we must not be discouraged. Look what the rulers decide after some consultation. Look at verse 18, here's their decision. Verse 18, then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. And that might seem pretty weak response. It might seem pretty pathetic. You've got to not speak about this guy. Because we know the bigger picture. There's thousands of people coming to trust in Jesus. And this ruling, it doesn't seem to harm the gospel that much. We know the greater story, that the gospel does reach the ends of the earth. It's reached here today. But the men that put Jesus to death, they directly opposed these disciples, told them not to speak. But look at verse 19 and 20. They're not discouraged. Look at verse 19. But Peter and John replied, which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. Do you see? They just can't help it. The good news about Jesus is true. It is amazing. It has brought new life in them. And they just cannot help talking about it. They won't be discouraged. They've made a conscious decision to fear God above man. When you have that conversation with your neighbor, you said how church was yesterday, and they just not. And there's that bit inside of you that goes, ah, again. That's okay. Because the good news about Jesus brings new life in us, and it may just do the same in them. And right now, we might have plenty of people that are rejecting the good news about Jesus. But it brings new life. And we don't know quite when people will accept it. Peter and John, they made a conscious decision to fear God above men. And they're gripped by the gospel. They're empowered by the Spirit such that they just can't help speaking about Jesus. Are you discouraged when it comes to speaking about Jesus? Do your family not care? Do they think that you're just a little bit odd? Friends not interested, think it's a load of rubbish? Or maybe do you just think that's what they think? You don't even know, but you just assume that when they brush past the topic, you just think, ah, oh, they're not that interested. Don't be discouraged. Some people will reject the good news about Jesus. That's just so expected. But some will find new life as the Spirit opens eyes to the truth of the gospel. Salvation is found in no one else. Don't be discouraged and pray. Look at the immediate response to adversity. Have a look at verse 24. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Do you see, as they face opposition, as they face rejection, what's their immediate reaction? They raise their voices to God. They recognize their complete inability to change the situation, and so they bring it before God. Sovereign God, see what they said? You're in control of all, you made the heavens and the earth. You're in control of all things. And they plead on behalf of those who reject the message. When you think of the area around the church here, you think of the people that you'd love to be here on a Sunday morning, and it feels sometimes so discouraging. For us all, we think of friends that we'd love to come to know Jesus. What's our immediate reaction? Would it be to raise our voice to the sovereign God who's in control of all things? Admit that we, in ourselves, have got a complete inability to affect the situation, but God, in his grace, by his Spirit, is at work opening blind eyes. Maybe it's surprising that Peter and John, they're so quick to admit that they can't do anything about it. We've just seen how brilliant they are as communicators, evangelists, how bold they are. But they know good arguments, solid facts, winsomeness. It doesn't equate to Christians. It's not the only recipe. It's God who is sovereign, and so they pray to him. And look at the content of the prayers. Verse 29, verse 30. Now, Lord, consider the threat and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Help me to keep speaking boldly. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. Do a work by your Spirit to open their eyes to the truth about him. Do you see? Would the Holy Spirit convince and convict people of the truth about Jesus? In verse 31, they do. And along we go in the book of Acts. They do. Maybe you can think of those friends that you've already thought about a couple of times now. Family members. Neighbours. People that you meet through the week. That you so desperately care for. That you'd so love to be here on a Sunday morning. That you so want them to accept the good news about Jesus. What's God telling us today? Don't be discouraged. Don't Don't be discouraged. Pray. Pray to God who is in control of all things. We must accept that we're completely incapable in and of ourselves of affecting any change within our friends, our family, our neighbours. And we must not be discouraged. This is the truth about Jesus, by which everyone is answerable to God. And so God tells us to pray that we would speak boldly and that he would do a work by his Spirit. And that's it. That's it, being part of this mission. Mission Unstoppable. The good news about Jesus that travels from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria to the very ends of the earth, to the corner of your street. Because we are telling more than just a good story. And it spreads because Jesus is alive and his Spirit's active. People will reject it, but God in his grace, he will continue to save lost people. That's our prayer, isn't it? For Hope Church Goldington, for churches across the country, that in time we'd see growth as the good news about Jesus, it reaches lost people in our towns. And we can have confidence because the news about Jesus is true. It is absolutely true. And God will go on opening blind eyes. So let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that this good news spreading isn't just reliant on our gifts and abilities. It's not just reliant on our boldness. Lord, thank you though that we can have absolute confidence in this message because it's true. Jesus is alive and the Spirit is active. Lord, please would you help us not to be discouraged when it's hard to speak about Jesus. And Father, we pray that you might go on adding people to your number. We pray for Bedford. We pray for this church that you might go on winning lost people, opening blind eyes to the truth of the gospel. Amen.
Thanks, Simon. Why don't we